Welcome to the Smart Weight Loss Coaching Podcast. I'm Dr. Lisa Olson, a board-certified weight loss medicine specialist and certified life coach. In this podcast, I'll share fresh insights and effective techniques for incorporating mindset, habit change, and proven science into your life. Are you ready to achieve sustainable weight loss, wellness, and longevity? Then let's jump in and lose weight the smart way. Welcome back. When I was a young adult, I'd hear about weight loss programs that claimed you could eat whatever you wanted and still lose weight. That sounded ridiculous to me, and I thought those programs were scams. They promoted outright lies, were totally misleading, and definitely too good to be true. Who would fall for that? But I've been thinking lately about the fact that I often say, and I believe, that nothing has to be forbidden when you're working on weight loss. Really, no food is entirely off limits. What's your reaction to hearing that no food is forbidden? Certainly no macros like carbs or entire categories like meat or gluten have to be forbidden when you're trying to lose weight. I actually say it all the time in my group program. Maybe it's not such a fake claim when someone says nothing is forbidden, as long as that statement comes with caveats. Ready for it? Nothing is forbidden. It's simply a matter of how much, how often, where, with whom, and what type of splurges you're talking about. This makes a bit more sense, right? A McDonald's fish fillet sandwich with small fries and water is not forbidden when I only have it once every 5 years when we're on a road trip with the kids and they're dying of excitement because they can't believe we're going to let them eat McDonald's. Bonus points if we can take it to go and sit outside at a park somewhere enjoying the splurge together. This is what I mean when I say nothing is forbidden. Do I believe I can eat at McDonald's twice a week and manage my weight? Absolutely not. I don't think so. But that doesn't mean McDonald's food is forbidden. Coming back to the caveats, nothing is forbidden. It's simply a matter of how much, how often, where, with whom, and what type of splurges we're talking about. Let's start with how much and how often, because although people think these are pretty obvious, I find not everyone has a sense of how often they can eat or drink certain things and still expect to lose weight. Can you have dessert every night and lose weight? Probably not, but it does depend on what that dessert is, right? What about one square of dark chocolate? Now that might be a weight neutral treat, but can it actually be part of your weight loss plan? Maybe. If the rest of the day is filled with healthy, real foods, I guess it's possible, but anything that we eat regularly requires scrutiny. Can we have some kind of sweet, salty, crunchy treat every single night and lose weight? For most of us, the answer is no. But when all we say to ourselves is no, 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 we start feeling deprived and maybe resentful. It seems like everyone else can eat and drink what they want, except for us. That thinking can lead to a negativity spiral. So let's not reinforce the idea that we're not allowed to have certain foods. If you're thinking, I can't have that, I'm not allowed to eat that, or that's off limits for me, shake that thought loose. Often enough, the food rules restricting treats are often the thing that provoke us to eat off protocol. Someone saying, I can never eat sweets, probably finds that eating sweets is exactly what they do when they get off track. What about instead of resisting certain foods, we try planning and allowing? What would it feel like to plan pancakes over the weekend and then just allow them, enjoy them, savor them, and believe that the pancakes aren't bad and you're not bad for liking them or eating them? Again and again, we're going to come back to our caveats. Nothing is forbidden. It's simply a matter of how much, how often, where, with whom, and what type of splurges you're talking about. If I have those pancakes with my kids on a Sunday morning once a year, that's awesome for me. I want to do that, and I will do that joyfully, not with shame or regret. But if they want pancakes again next weekend, I'm out. The kids can have their pancakes, but I'll have my avocado toast on whole grain bread. Why? Because how often is an important part of the treat analysis. Let's talk fast food. I have clients who eat healthy most of the time, but fast food still sneaks into their lives regularly simply because they're busy, it's affordable, convenient, and hyper-palatable. The taste is engineered to go beyond the normal delicious flavors found in home-cooked meals. These flavors are ramped up. They're not only tasty, they can actually be addictive. Would I say this food is off limits? No, but I'd go through the criteria. How often? How much? With whom? What type? How often should be infrequent when it comes to fast food? If you're driving through weekly, it's draconian to suggest that you reduce that to once a year right off the bat. Start with where you're at. I think once a year is a fantastic goal eventually, but if you usually grab fast food at least once every single week, how about reducing it to 2 or 3 times a month? Identify where you're at today, and since there's no deadline to getting healthy or losing weight, start with an achievable stepping stone goal. As long as you circle back to reduce the frequency of fast food again and again, you'll eventually hit once a year, if that's your goal. Now to our how much question. I don't think it serves any of us to supersize anything we eat or drink. How much do you really need to scratch that fast food itch? I'd suggest you select a small size for your French fries. Enjoy the taste of it, but after the first 10 fries, we can all acknowledge that the pleasure of each bite diminishes. We really do get the biggest pop of pleasure from the first 3 to 4 bites. I recommend an approach of not splurging on the portion size when you're splurging on the food. And certainly consider if you need a soda with your food. I'm a fan of having one treat at a time. If you're going out for a burger and fries, can you have that with some water? I live near a Dairy Queen, and I have to confess that I really love a vanilla cone dipped in chocolate. Am I aware that it's an ultra-processed Nova 4 food? Absolutely, but I still love it. I found that it serves me well to plan one trip to the Dairy Queen each summer. I'm not saying that I never eat any other ice cream or have any other treats, but this particular ultra-processed ice cream is a once-a-year treat. And with this treat, the point I want to make is that I order the size I want to be. I order a small. Of course, I could polish off a medium or a large. That's some pretty creamy, delicious ice cream. But I don't need to eat it like Dairy Queen is going out of business tomorrow. I'll be back next summer to enjoy another small vanilla cone dipped in chocolate. How much and how often? One small cone once a year. Let go of, I can't, I shouldn't, I'm not allowed. Have the one small cone a year and remind yourself, I can. I'm in charge. It's allowed. I'm choosing this treat and I'm having it with my family. I like my reasons and I like that I planned it in advance. Part of that planning means I won't be gobbling up a pint of Häagen-Dazs ice cream the day before or after I pop over to Dairy Queen. Rather, I'll strive to make some healthy choices as I look forward to my splurge. Now listen, that's just one example. I like to meet people where they're at. If someone goes out for fast food every day for lunch or has ice cream every night, it would be completely unhelpful to think about once a year as the right frequency. If you eat fast food daily, bring your lunch once a week to start. But don't just stop there. Keep challenging yourself to have the treats with a bit less frequency over time. I recommend telling yourself, I'm practicing having ice cream once a week, or once a month, or in the case of Dairy Queen, once a summer. It doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect, but when I know I'm allowing ice cream on Saturday, I can remind myself to sit tight on Thursday because ice cream is allowed and I'm planning to have it soon. In my opinion, as you can see, it's not necessary to completely eliminate treats. If you like chips, you don't have to swear off them for the rest of your life. It's enough to manage your chip consumption. Being realistic, I don't think you can have chips or ice cream or fast food multiple times a week and lose weight. That's my honest opinion. That's a frequency that will lead to weight gain over time. Maybe it's not obvious because it's a few pounds here, a few pounds there, but daily treats tend to add weight, even when you're eating well in between those treats. I sometimes differentiate between pleasure snacks and splurges. A pleasure snack is something small. A splurge is a bigger thing, like maybe a piece of pie. Watch those splurges because the frequency really matters. One of my clients is an avid walker, and she loves scones. She would walk a long distance to her nearest Panera every Sunday to get her cup of coffee and a scone. The way she created a happy ritual around it brings me to my next point. With whom are you having your treat? Here, I mean not only which person will be with you, but also what's the circumstance? There's a difference between the way it feels to sneak some candy out of your bag and eat it in the car versus sitting down with a friend for a cup of coffee and a scone on a beautiful Sunday morning. Or perhaps your treat is a glass of wine on a Friday night. It tastes better with someone whose company you enjoy. When you're tempted by something that isn't supporting your weight goals, ask yourself, is this moment special? Is this how I want to spend my splurge? Will I be glad I had my splurge in this situation? One of my kids is on a high school sports team, and they recently had an end-of-the-season banquet. Parents were invited. The food included typical high school kid fare, pizza, salad, and desserts. I decided to load my plate up with salad and eat that first, and then I had a couple of small squares of thin crust cheese pizza. That was a treat. Dessert was tempting, but at the end of the day, it wasn't my special event, and it wasn't how I wanted to spend my splurge. I skipped the dessert knowing that dessert is allowed, but this just isn't my night for this dessert. Here's the other thing about dessert. I prefer to spend my splurges on a certain type of treat. What's worth the splurge to you? Do you curate your treats so you're eating things that are really worth the splurge and take a pass on things that aren't? When I was younger, I'm sorry to say, free treats were tough to pass up. Have you ever experienced that? If I was at an event and someone was handing out cookies, I'd take one and eat it. Why? Because it was free, even if it was ultra processed, even if I didn't even care for the flavor that much, even if I was eating it on the go and wasn't even hungry. Thankfully, the lure of free food will dissipate when you start reminding yourself that you're curating your food. You're in charge. It's not that the free cookies are forbidden, but if they don't hit your criteria for the right situation with the right person, why eat them? Save it for later and have a cookie with someone you know. Sit down and have it in a relaxing situation where you can mindfully enjoy it. Savor it because that cookie should be special. Eat your cookie in a fika. A fika, F-I-K-A, is a Scandinavian or Swedish word for sitting at a cafe, having a little treat and some coffee with a friend and watching the world go by. If only all of our treats could be eaten in a fika situation. Let's talk about teachers' lounges. Teachers' lounges and medical staff lounges are some of the toughest places when it comes to treats that aren't worth the splurge. If you walk in and see an array of store-bought cookies filled with ultra-processed ingredients, I'd argue those aren't worth it. What might be worth the splurge are the cookies you make on a Saturday afternoon with your own kids using real ingredients. It's not forbidden to eat a couple of fresh and warm cookies right out of the oven on a relaxing Saturday afternoon. This sounds right, doesn't it? In my experience, I tell people that they can have their favorite foods, but sometimes raising awareness of what's in certain foods can make those foods less appealing. For example, if you like Oreos, does it change your mind to know that they contain high fructose corn syrup, soy lecithin, artificial flavors, and industrially produced hexane extracted oils? Knowing that, you may no longer find yourself wanting to eat Oreos as often. Every once in a while, you might miss it, and then you can plan to buy a small container as a special treat. But maybe now you'll only buy Oreos once a year, or even less. By not restricting them, by allowing Oreos sometimes, the urgency of your desire will calm down. As you think about your NBA, your next best action for this week, I invite you to consider the foods that you might have thought were forbidden. Do you want to allow them? How often? Which foods? How much will you eat? With whom and in what situation? Doesn't it feel amazing to know that nothing needs to be forbidden when you're working on your health and your weight? Hey, are you dying to hear who won the raffle for our 12-week webinar-based smart weight loss coaching program? I know, I'm dying to hear too. But because we record these podcasts in advance, by the time you listen to it, we will have drawn a winner. I just don't happen to know who that winner is yet. So be sure you follow us on social media to find out. You can check us out on Instagram at Lisa Olson MD and smartweightlosscoaching.com. We're also on Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, anywhere you get your social media. And we will be announcing who the winner is on the next podcast episode. Thanks so much for listening. If you'd like more support during your smart weight loss journey, check out our group coaching program at smartweightlosscoaching.com. Until next time, stay well and stay smart.